Boy, Spencer, you are getting better and better all the time. I mean, that is great. And I'll say that the same is true with Paige, too, as well. Just watching them grow and develop as musicians. I've always loved that song. And yes, sometimes I've gotten tied up with the words. He looked beyond my faults, right, and saw my need. And I'm so glad. Aren't you glad that he did that for those of us that know the Lord, that know him? Boy, he looked upon a whole lot of junk, a whole lot of sin, and he saw me and he loved me. He loved every one of us. He died on the cross. Someone once said, he who knows me best loves me most. That just doesn't seem to go together, does it? I mean, if somebody who knows you best, they know all of the bad things about you and I. But that person who knows us who knows us best, he loves us the most, and he died for us. Anyway, thank you again. What a blessing. All right. Great to see you all here today. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. We read a verse in regard to Abraham and the faith that he had in the Lord, and what an example that he is to every one of us. It says that he staggered not at the promises that God gave to him. So we're going to look at the... I was talking with Brother Davis here earlier about, he asked me where I was going to be, and I said Hebrews 11, and he said, oh, the Hall of Faith chapter, the Hall of Fame chapter. So it kind of goes both ways, Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. It's about some tremendous individuals. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter. About 90% of the time I preach expository, and today not so much so. I'm taking the subject of faith and kind of going off with it, but I am going to go into this chapter for 6 verses. We read those in tremendous verses about faith, and then I'll be talking to you about growing in faith, how we should all be growing in faith. Would not you say that? Amen. Amen. We're supposed to. If those of us that know Christ, I'm speaking at that moment, at that particular statement to those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're here without Christ, we want to see you get saved. We want to see you trust Christ as your personal Savior. So here in Hebrews chapter 11, this great, great chapter, let's take a look at these first 6 verses. We'll stop right there and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, here's the great verse that we know. I mean, they're all great verses, but we know this one. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A great, great verse about faith. Without faith, folks, it's impossible to please him. And I'll be talking about that here in this message, about growing in faith. And I hope that you and I are growing in our faith. And I hope the Lord will use this message to maybe prompt us, exhort us, maybe admonish us, whatever he needs to do, that if we know him, that we'll learn to walk by faith, not by sight, that will grow in this faith that he has given unto us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today. What a blessing it is to be in church. Lord, we thank you. We never want to take that for granted. It is a great blessing to come together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have the opportunity to fellowship and catch up on what's taken place in the last few days or in the last week or however long it's been. Thank you for those who have been not feeling so well, who have been under the weather, who have been battling sicknesses through this winter. Some of those are here today. That's just a great, great blessing. I thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for, again, all of the blessings you've poured out unto us on a daily basis. We're blessed beyond measure. But again, getting back to today, just being able to come together and to sing, to hear that special that was just played. Lord, we thank you for all of that. We thank you that we can look into your word. Lord, we thank you for faith. You've given that to us. It is a great gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You give us these things, and you give us this gift of faith. Help us to use it. Lord, help us to grow in our faith as believers. Now, if there's somebody here without Christ, then, Lord, I pray that they would exercise that faith in Christ, at what he has done for them, how he came and died for their sins and was buried and rose again. Lord, I pray that you'll work in those hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of some yesterday that we talked to on visitation that didn't know you, and they had the opportunity to hear the gospel. I pray you'll work in those hearts and those lives and bring them to Christ. So now we pray that you would be honored through everything that's done. Lord, again, I do pray that you'd set me to the side. I don't want to get in and hinder you. So I pray, Father, for the Spirit of God to do his work. I pray that you'd help us to have ears to hear. And again, I pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So regarding this subject of faith, we read there in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God. God is honored by faith. There are a few things in the Bible that prompt maybe a greater response. There might be some, but there are few that really prompt a great response from the Lord that capture his attention as well as an exercise of faith in him. I won't turn there, but in Luke chapter 7, there was a man who was a Roman centurion. And he had a servant that was very, very ill, almost to the point of death. And he besought the Lord, and the Lord was going to come to that man's home. And the man just was very humble. He says, "Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. I'm a man of authority." And he went on to speak of some things, but he said, "If you would just even say in a word, I know that you would heal my servant." So a humble approach to the Lord and just begging that the Lord would just in a word. And the Lord said, "I have not found so great a faith, no, not even in all of Israel." The Lord said, the Lord was just taken aback by this man's faith. Well, that's a good question for you and I. What does the Lord think of our faith? Do we have a faith that is pleasing unto the Lord? Well, folks, because it's so important, listen, why is it so often, and I'll say this, I say it many times, but I don't want to throw you under the bus with myself, okay? But sometimes something so important, we don't always make the most of it. Is that something that maybe is the case with you and I? Sometimes we look at things that are to be so valuable to us, and sometimes we have a tendency to minimize them. And it could be for this reason or that reason, we get distracted by a whole lot of things. But I think maybe in this particular thing in regard to our faith, I think maybe mostly it's due to the fact that we cannot gauge it. We cannot really gauge it. There are things in this life that we can gauge. You got this little guy right here, right? This little guy is an oxygen sensor. And, if you want to know where your levels are, then it's good to, it's nice to be able to have something like that. Right there, I've already got my reading. 66 is my oxygen level. Oh, wait a second. Oh, 99, okay. I'm starting to worry there for a moment. But we don't have something like that for faith, do we? No, it would be nice. It would be nice to have something like that. Folks, I want to speak today about some things regarding our faith. The Bible does say that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, right? It also says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 that the just shall live by faith. That's what the Lord has required of his people always. But he certainly said it to us here in the church age. I mean, he said it to his people all throughout time. But he has said it to us, the just shall live by faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Right? All of the fiery darts that he wants to throw at us. Folks, we are to be people of faith. You and I were to be people of faith. It honors the Lord. the first thing I want to say to those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you do have faith. The Lord has gifted you and I. I said that a little bit earlier. Faith was given to you by God. It is there for you and I to use. We have it. It has been given to us as a great present by the Lord. And if you and I do not use it, it is our own fault. It is our bad. The Lord says it is there at your and my disposal. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says this, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart," that is the word of faith which we preach. So the Lord says, I've given to you the gift of faith. He's given that to a lost person. Because as you go on in the verses after that, it talks about that if you'll confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, believe in him with your heart, believe that that the Father raised the Son, he says, thou shalt be saved. God has put that faith in the mouth of every individual, and it just can be exercised at their own will. And so that's where we're at. We have been given this gift of faith, but do we use it? Do we allow the Lord to develop that in our lives? So the first point I want to bring up is, how are we to grow in our faith? How are we to grow in our faith? How full of faith are you? What level are you at right now, if you think about it? Low, medium, high, if there were a gauge that we could look at. Take a look at this. This is a great church, the Thessalonian church. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, I just want to read these three verses. This church was a great example in many ways, and one of those ways was the fact that they had a great faith. They had, if you get in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the word was preached unto them, they believed it as the word of God and not as the word of men. And that was one thing that just kind of shot them forward in their growth. They had strong faith, and they had a love for one another, and they were witnessing. So they were taking off and being a great example to those all around in that whole region. But that's what we read about him, about this church, about them. It says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." He says to them that your faith has grown exceedingly. Now, we know, we maybe don't use the word exceedingly a whole lot, but I think we know what that means. It means a whole lot, a whole bunch. And he says your faith has grown exceedingly. Folks, nor are we to understand that faith just grows on its own, all right? Or is it possible that maybe there is something that we can do that can help facilitate that the growth of our faith? Listen, I believe this. It's possible that faith does grow on its own to some degree, but I think the reason why faith will grow in our lives is some of the things that we do to facilitate it, some decision-making that we make on our part. Now remember, faith is not a product of our own making. It's a gift from God. But how it develops in our life depends on our Christian walk, on our relationship with the Lord Himself. It must be fed. Just as you feed your children, just as you feed a lawn, if you want it to grow, you've got to feed it. Well, with that being said, one of the surest ways of making our faith grow is for us to live holy, obedient lives unto the Lord. We're told to be godly and righteous, that we're to live holy. Now, we have to make a determination to do that. But I say the best way for us to truly live that way is obviously we allow the Spirit of the Lord to do His work in our lives to live a godly, righteous, holy life. Now, maybe I'm speaking to somebody here today. Maybe there's some things in your life that that need to be turned from, that maybe need to be given unto the Lord, and maybe you and I need to seek His face on some things. But it ought to be the determined, a conscious, determined effort on our part that we want to live godly and holy and righteous. And so I want to challenge you to do that. Listen, that doesn't mean we never fall into sin. We certainly do. Brother Jordan had a great, great Sunday school lesson, and he brought up that point and spoke to that for a little bit, and that is, listen, we're all going to sin, but we shouldn't just always, make excuses that we're just going to fall in sin. We need to make a determination and say, Lord, help me to not continue to fall after that sin. You know, the Bible speaks about there's a sin which doth so easily beset us. There are besetting sins that we are prone to. Those were probably the sins that we were at for years and years before we came to Christ. And when we fall back into sin as a Christian, it's usually the old lifestyle that we go to. And so may we be determined to look unto the Lord and seek His face to make sure that we maintain that fellowship with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 is a wonderful chapter. In fact, it's so good. Let's just turn there real quick. In 1 John chapter 1, it talks about making sure that our fellowship is right with the Lord. It says here in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Now, if we say that that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So what is the Lord saying? We just need to shoot straight with God and to just be allow Him to expose us, to just simply be reasonable enough to say, Lord, yes, I'm not doing everything as I ought to. You know that I'm cutting corners here, or I'm making some compromises here, or I'm flat out sinning right there, and it's wrong, and I want to get it right. For us to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're doing everything right when just even a casual, you know, a casual glance at ourselves would certainly reveal the fact that, no, we're not doing everything right. And Lord, I come to You because I want my heart to be right. So He says, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But it says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So yes, we are going to fall into sin. But this is so important that we do, as verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means just making sure that we restore our fellowship with Him. We're not losing our salvation here. We can lose fellowship with the Lord when we begin to walk in darkness, as verse 6 says. And then verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Folks, it's important that we determine to live godly. And we look unto the Lord to help us each day to live godly, to live holy. But when we fall off and when we slip, when we fall, look unto the Lord. He forgives us and He puts us right back in fellowship with Him. So important that we do that. When something doesn't belong in our lives, we need to take care of it. Amen? I think about this last few weeks, we've had an ant issue in our house. Yeah. And we've ordered some little traps, not traps, little bait that the ants are supposed to come and get it and then take off and take it back to their nest, I guess, whatever you want to call it, wherever they all congregate. And, we had some like about a year plus ago, and it just worked like great, but this time it's just not knocking them out. Now, it's starting to work, but I won't rest until that last ant is dead. It reminds me of a guy that went into, an Ace Hardware store, and he picked up some insecticide, and he says, is this good for ants? And the guy says, no, it'll kill them. We want them dead. Well, I do want them dead, all right? Listen, another way that our faith grows is when it gets used. When it gets used. Folks, as you've heard before, and I've said it before, faith is like a muscle that when we use it, it strengthens, it gets developed. That's what happens. That's what needs to take place in our life with faith. Again, it's like a muscle that needs to be used. Folks, if it's going to grow, it's going to have to be exercised. A.B. Simpson said this. He says, you will never learn faith in comfortable surroundings. And so if faith is going to be used, there's going to be situations in our life that are going to be difficult, that are going to be challenging. But that's good. You know, when you're going through a day and you're wondering, why does the bottom seem like it's fallen out from this day? Well, the Lord's allowed that. The Lord's allowed that so that you'll have the opportunity to exercise faith in Him. I've had a few times this week, and of course, not just this week, but on an ongoing basis, where there's times when I just, what is happening? I just a sense of there's pressure and stresses, and I just feel like I'm in the middle of spiritual warfare is what it is. And the Lord allows it. I can't get my hands on it, but I know. I just kind of sense that the devil's around, and I just have to look to the Lord. And when I did look to the Lord this week, the Lord was just kind and gracious, and He gave me some liberty. He gave me some freedom. But folks, that's called, you know, exercising those spiritual muscles. That's what faith's about. So faith is something that has to be used. Our faith also grows, folks. Our faith also grows when we listen to and when we read the Word of God. We must be in the Word of God. God speaks to our hearts as we read it out of His Word, and also when we hear it as it is being taught and being preached to us. Folks, if we get into this Word and we look unto it and we seek God's face, and we ask Him to reveal Himself to us, God's going to strengthen us. This is the bread that nourishes us. This is what nourishes our faith and gives us strength. Let me challenge you every day to read your Bible. Let me challenge you every day to just determine, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I was blessed to hear Josh in his testimony a few weeks ago when we had the young people giving testimonies, and Mason did a great job of bringing that message, and we heard some great things. One of the things I heard when Josh said this is that I'm determined to read my Bible through all the way this year. That's a great, great goal, isn't it? Maybe you haven't determined to do that. Maybe you haven't read your Bible all the way through. I'm not going to have a show of hands, but maybe right now God is laying it on your heart to determine, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. Read it every day. God will bless it, and God will strengthen your faith as you look unto Him. Let it be a part of your life each and every day. Let something stick. You know, maybe there's some words that need to be put to memory. Maybe there's some verses that need to be planted on your refrigerator, or maybe somewhere in your car so that you see it on a regular basis. I've got a little book that is called Bible Promises, and it's just full of a lot of scripture, and I keep it right by me. Sometimes I just open it up and I see just different verses that are all written out. And I'm reminded of a lot of verses I've memorized, but also verses I haven't memorized. But it's a good thing for me. It's something that prompts me to try to put God's Word in my mind more and more. And I want to challenge you to do that as well. In Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Folks, how important it is that we grow in our faith. And then the second point that I want to bring up is signs of that growth. There should be some indicators that we're growing in the things of the Lord. With anything in this life, if there is growth, then with that growth comes some telltale signs that clearly show that there's growth. And so it is with faith, folks. If your faith is growing, then there are ways to know that. There ought to be ways to see it. Now, you might not always see it from day to day because it's very subtle, but it should happen and take place over time. There should be things that take place in our lives. One of the things that maybe that we were familiar with in our early life as a Christian is just maybe how situations and trials and difficulties would overwhelm us. I'm not saying that we can't be overwhelmed now, because certainly we can. As we're growing in grace, the Lord takes us out into deeper waters. But there were things that maybe caused us to panic back in the day, and now we go through some of those same things, and there's a calmness. There's a peace. That ought to be something that, as you think about it, you would say, yeah, that is true. There's some things that I remember that when I would go through them, I just worried all through the night, and I couldn't sleep, and I couldn't rest. Now I have much sweeter sleep. Now I go through some of those same things, and there's a calmness. There's a steadiness. Folks, there ought to be some indicators that way. There ought to be some things in our life that we take a look at and we see. Folks, you will see, and we ought to see in our lives, a marginal profitability in your life, again, that at one time was barely noticeable. So there should be some things. I have known people, and they have even told me this. They said, I went through years and years, maybe 20 plus years, just sitting in church and never really growing. And then God did something in my life, and it just turned me around, and it made a whole difference, and I began to dedicate my life to the Lord. I dedicated my life to His Word, and then I began to get busy being a witness and serving the Lord and listening unto Him, and it just, my life took off in incredible fashion. Maybe that's where somebody is here today. Maybe there's not just one or two, but maybe there's a number of you that are just kind of sitting on your faith. And I want to challenge you today to turn to the Lord, to seek His face, to listen unto Him, to get into His Word, and allow the Lord to begin to expand your faith. Amen. Folks, is it growing? Are there visible signs that it's growing? There ought to be. You'll see it in so many things, in so many other ways as well. You'll find yourself, as you look unto the Lord, wanting to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have a desire to want to be more like Him. You'll find yourself loving the brethren more, and not just grumbling about the brethren, but you'll have a desire for them. You'll look past people's faults. You'll look past their idiosyncrasies. You'll have a desire to want to be a blessing rather than just going home and, you know, that brother or this sister or whatever it might be. And instead of finding ourselves complaining, we're looking at being more of a blessing. That just takes place as we grow in faith. You'll have more zeal. You'll love reading the Bible more. Listen, there have always been times for every one of us when we go through stretches and it's just we feel like we're just obligated to read that Bible. And sometimes it just doesn't yield a whole lot. And usually that's the problem is with us. I think there are times when maybe God just kind of holds back some blessings just to see if we'll keep reading it. Just to see if we'll stay at it. And sometimes some of the things that we're to do as believers, sometimes if it just gets down to a point of just doing our duty, then sometimes we just want to just do it. Not because we get a good feeling out of it, but we know it's the right thing to do. And when God sees us pass that test, then I believe the feelings come back. Because it's always good to read your Bible, and the Spirit of the Lord is ministering to your heart, and God is blessing you. I like it to be that way all the time. Don't you like it when you read the Word of God and you're just excited? Brother Jordan was talking about being excited. Have there ever been some times when you've read your Bible and you went, yeah! Thank you, Lord. Praise you for what you're doing. Listen, we get excited about a whole lot of things that mean absolutely nothing. You know, you'll paint yourself, you know, green and yellow because you're a Packer fan, because you're a cheesehead. And you'll go to a game and be all decked out, and we get excited. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a lot of fun. But then we just get real dull about the things of the Lord. And maybe we use an excuse for that. Well, we're to be sober-minded, you know. We're not, no, the Bible talks about being excited for the Lord. I'm not talking about doing weird things. I'm not into that. I'm not into doing cartwheels down the aisle. It's like, okay, let's put a lid on that one, okay? But it's good to get excited. It's good to be excited about what the Lord has done in our lives. Man, praise the Lord for that. God is so good. And as we yield to Him and as we look unto Him to strengthen our faith, there will be some more zeal. Again, yeah, you know, we might be wired and we're more quiet. I understand that. But, you know, if you get excited, something should happen. Maybe your little pinkies maybe start wiggling around or something happens, but there should be a response. And folks, it'll be evident in your life and in my life. And then the third thing that I want to bring out in regard to our faith is this, just this last point, is don't be satisfied until you begin to see it growing. Don't be satisfied until you begin to see it growing. You and I ought to be dissatisfied until something begins to manifest itself. Lord, help me. I want to see this faith evidenced in my life. You see it with the church at Thessalonica. Those Thessalonian believers had taken off with their faith. We could go again to that, to 1 Thessalonians, but I'll just bring up some of the things that God had done in their lives, that they had gotten excited. They got excited about hearing the word of God, and they trusted in the Lord. And then immediately they began to spread the word of God all about so that others would hear and others got saved. And then it says, right at the end of chapter 1, that they kept their eyes for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another indicator about growing in faith, is we're more inclined to the coming again of the Lord. It's on our minds, because as we're walking with Him, that's a part of that whole package, is we're looking for the Lord's coming. And when you're looking for the Lord's coming, you and I, what does it do? It just prompts us to want to do what's right. You know how we were when mom and dad were off and we were supposed to be doing some chore, and maybe we put it off and we didn't get around to it, and we thought, oh, they're going to be coming pretty soon. I better be out. Because, you know, mom and dad, they're not here yet. I better get to doing it. Well, that's not always the right motive. I know that. But when we know the Lord's coming and we're desiring His coming, it just fuels in us the desire to want to do right, to want to please Him, to want to honor Him. And folks, with all of that, that just develops our faith. So don't be satisfied until you begin to see that faith growing in your life. A couple of good reasons for that, and we'll finish up here. The first reason why we should not be satisfied without growing in our faith is how much it will hinder the body of believers, the church. The mere fact that you and I, you know, just the thought that we would fail somebody else because our faith is not where it ought to be. Well, it comes across. If you and I are not walking with the Lord, it just comes across. If you and I are walking with Christ, that comes across as well. We're excited about things. That doesn't mean we never get down. We never get discouraged. No, I mean, I traffic in reality. We all understand that there are times that happens. But that's when we just turn back to the Lord, and the Lord brings us right back to a good place again. And when we continue and determine that that's where we want to live on a regular basis, then you know what that does? It spreads in the church. It spreads from just your body language, from just that smile on your face. So many of you, we have a church that's full of a lot of people that have a desire to serve the Lord. And I know many of you maybe that are maybe younger in the Lord are coming along. I really see that, and that is a blessing. It's never good to be around somebody who's a sad sack, right? No, and we don't want to be a sad sack for Christ. That's not a good thing. We want to be encouraging, exhorting, uplifting. Folks, we want to be full of faith. And when we walk by faith, then God gives us some great victories. I think about a character in Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? And I love that book, Pilgrim's Progress. There's a character that is brought up in a conversation between Christian and Hopeful, and they speak about a man by the name of Little Faith. And his name was Little Faith, and he was going down a dead man's lane, I think, dead man's alley or something. And he took some rest, and he's awakened by these three rogues, right? These three thugs, Mistrust and a couple other names I can't remember. And they demanded of him his money, and he was unable to flee or to fight. He didn't have the strength to do either. And they kind of roughed him up. They hit him over the head with a club. They took his money. and they took off. And the moral to that story, as they had the conversation, was because of his little faith, he just had just a little bit left in his pocket, and he just was basically a beggar the rest of his journey. He was a believer, but he was a believer that just had little faith. And he was never able to accomplish much. There were never great victories in his life. And for you and I, that certainly makes application to every one of us. When we function on little faith, when our faith gauge is low, then God's not going to be able to do much in your life or in my life. I think about in Mark chapter 5, when the Lord shows some great, great examples of people's faith in him and what he did for him. There was the maniac of Gadara. I think I brought this up just recently. The maniac of Gadara, the woman that had an issue of blood, Jairus with his little daughter at the point of death. All of them exercised faith in him, and great victories were accomplished in all of their lives because of that. But then you get to chapter 6, and he goes back to Nazareth where he grew up, and they would not put their trust in him. And it says, and I've got the verses written down, Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, and he could there do no mighty work. And verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief, because there was no faith, he couldn't do anything. Well, the same thing is true in your life and in my life when we operate on little faith. We're not going to allow him to be able to do what he wants to in our life, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. God wants to see you and I growing in our faith and going forward in our faith. And God will bless it when we do. Faith is a living thing, and if we're not experiencing it, then it is probably just as sure that our lives are rather being characterized with doubt. When we're not living by faith, then it's doubt. And faith and doubt are both contagious. And which one do you want to spread? Do you want to be a spreader of doubt? Oh, I don't know if God can do that in this last times. Listen, I understand that when we get to the last times, there's an apostasy and there's a lot of things that take place. And maybe we're not going to have a great worldwide revival according to what, not that God couldn't do it, but I want to be somebody who doesn't limit God. I want to be somebody who really believes that God can do what he's always been able to do. And the Bible speaks about how the Jews had limited the Holy One of Israel in Psalm 78. They limited God. Now, I know I've done that way too many times, and I know that I still do that. But my heart, I seek before the Lord, Lord, I don't want to limit you. I want to see what you can do. May we learn to do that. May we learn to just operate by faith and let him do what he wants to do in our lives. And then finally, we should not be satisfied when we're not growing in faith, because really more than anything else, it greatly dishonors the Lord. It more than anything else, folks, when we don't walk by faith, it dishonors God. And he's not able to do the things that he would want to do. As I read just a little bit ago out of Mark chapter 5, folks, he cannot do anything in faithless hearts. That's just the way he operates. He certainly can because he's an almighty God, but he chooses not to work through somebody who doesn't have any faith. And maybe you and I are operating on little faith. When he is not doing a work that he alone can do, then he is being robbed of being glorified. You see the implications of it all? When we don't operate by faith and walk by faith, then we are not glorifying God. We're not bringing glory unto him. And that's why we were created. That's why we were saved, so that we can bring honor and glory unto him. So I challenge you in that way. I challenge myself. Again, Israel was guilty many times of grieving the Lord because they limited the Holy One of Israel. So as I finish this off, I just simply want to throw this at yourself and myself as well. Are we growing in our faith? Are we growing in our faith on a regular basis? And if the answer is no, are we satisfied with that? Are we satisfied with not going forward for the things of the Lord? And if the answer is yes, are we seeing visible signs of that growth? Do you see that happening over time? And the Lord will reveal those things to you and I. Folks, we should not cease to rest until we know that our faith is doing well. We shouldn't. We should be before the Lord on a regular basis. Lord, I want my faith to be pleasing unto you. I know that it's not all that it should be, but help me. Help it to be a healthy faith. Help it to be growing. Help it to be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, you know, simple faith and trust in the Lord and what He clearly lays out in His Word. The Bible says that we're sinners and we need to be saved, and we can certainly be saved by His grace through faith. Faith in what Christ has done for us. The Bible says He lived a sinless life and died on a cross, was buried and rose again, and now He simply is looking unto you to trust Him as your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that is by faith. Folks, where are we at in our walk with the Lord? Are we walking by faith? How is your faith? Is it growing? Something for us to consider, certainly something for us to take to the Lord and to look unto Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads at this time, and here in just a second, again, we'll have a hymn of invitation. We'll sing a hymn here, but right now, as the piano begins to play in a moment, maybe this is a good time for you and I, as believers, to take a look at our lives. Ask the Lord to help us. Where are we at with our faith? Is our faith growing? Are there signs? Are there indicators of that? Do we realize how that plays out in our testimony? Do we understand and realize that strong faith brings honor and glory to the Lord? And then if you're here without Christ, what a wonderful thing that the Lord is offering to you simply by exercising that faith in what He is offering to you. He's offering to you His Son. And so today, if you're without Christ, you can know today that you're saved and have eternal life. So as we sing this hymn of invitation in just a moment, I hope you'll do today what God has called you and I to do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the precious promises that you've given to us. Thank you for the great salvation that we have in Christ. Thank you for the great gifts that you've bestowed upon us, one of them being faith. Lord, help us to be good stewards of this faith. Help us to be in your word. Help us to be faithful to do the things you've called us to do. Help us to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to see our faith grow. We want to see it grow to the point where it's just honoring and pleasing unto you, and that we can be used by you. And we pray for anybody here without Christ that they would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can look unto you for this, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand and